If you're walking down Chestnut Street in Old City, you can't miss Kyle Cassidy's photos. They're life-size, and they take up the entire first floor window of the Science History Institute.
They're of some healthcare workers, essential workers, Philadelphia Street's sanitation crew, and they're standing there as big as you are.
Since March, Kyle has photographed about 40 essential workers as a part of a series called Between Us and Catastrophe. He also interviews them, and each photo is accompanied by a story, in their words, about how they feel risking their lives to keep us all safe. Why could pictures like these, highlighting essential workers, be the enduring image of 2020? I'm Alex Stern, in for Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Before the pandemic started, Kyle was scheduled to fly to Iceland to take some pictures for a project about sweaters. His trip was pushed back, then canceled.
So when the lockdown happened, I knew that it would bother me to sit home and do nothing. I wanted to be part of the solution, but I had none of the skills that were required to be part of the solution. You know, I wasn't a doctor, I wasn't a nurse, I wasn't a scientist, but I did realize that what I could do is amplify the stories of people who were part of the solution. I think also, you know, in the very early days, I felt like a desire to know what's going on. You know, and I think a lot of us do this in that, you know, we're constantly checking the news, refreshing the news to satiate this hole in our understanding of what's happening. And I certainly felt like that. It was kind of a little bit of a panic. And having access to stories of people who knew what was going on was helpful to assuage that.
I'm curious why you felt like it was important to document these stories. I mean, I think like the flip side of the panic you're feeling as the pandemic is happening is the instinct to distract yourself and like not look at it at all. But you decided to turn into it and to document it. So why did you decide to do that?
Before she died, my grandmother gave me her photo album and I went through it with her. There were a number of pictures from World War II and I asked her what that was like and she had no specific memories. And I thought that was sad, that it was, you know, obviously a huge part of her life. She didn't remember anything that happened day to day. And I realized that in 40 years, kids are going to be going through trunks and attics, and they're going to find our cache of homemade hand sanitizer and masks. And they're going to ask, what did you do during this time? And I wanted Philadelphia to have an answer for that. I wanted a record so that I could tell people what Philadelphia did and the sacrifices that people went through.
I'd like to just go through some of these photographs with you. And I want to start with a picture you took of a nurse named Alex. We're not including her last name or her workplace because she doesn't have official permission to speak about her experiences right now from her employer. Would you mind just describing for me the picture that you took of her?
Sure. It's a very dark picture. There's a dark background and it's lit softly by one light from one side. And it's of a woman wearing nurse's scrubs. She's also wearing an N95 mask. She has very trendy plastic glasses and a floral surgical head covering and a face shield.
She's almost a little anonymous. She has so much gear on her face.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, in so many of these pictures, and one of the things that I realized that, you know, since we were all covered by this protective equipment, that the only real interaction you have with the person that you're photographing is their eyes.
Yeah, you can see one of her eyes is a little darker, but there's one that's like peering out at you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what has Alex's experience been like as a nurse during the pandemic?
When I talked to Alex, the last time it was in May, and she had hit the ground running. She was dealing with the pandemic a lot better than many of the other nurses that I had talked to.
I enjoy being there for somebody in a difficult time, I like being the one who can like stay calm and help them out.
She had been a pediatric emergency nurse for several years and took a year off when she had a child of her own, and then went back to work for the first time in an adult ER in February.
Oof, right before.
Yeah. And so she was thrown right into the middle of it.
Emotionally, I think that it was just fear, just like pure panic. Like physically, I felt like jumpy and startled all the time just because I felt so on edge, so on guard.
Did she tell you what it was like to interact with a COVID patient right now?
Yes. And this is something I've heard from several nurses that, you know, a nurse wants to be there to help you. That's why they went to school. That's why they're doing this job. They want to, you know, they want to improve people's lives. And people who have COVID are highly contagious. And when they go into a COVID patient's room, first of all, they don't do it as often as they would like to because it's a long process to get dressed.
There's two kinds of masks, the N95. There's a surgical mask. So two masks, eye protection, gown and gloves.
So when a COVID patient sees this nurse come in, it doesn't really look like a nurse that you would see if you were in the hospital in, you know, 2019 because you broke your leg. You know, you'd be able to see their face. They'd be able to sit on the, you know, sit next to you or hold your hand or touch you or something like that.
These patients who are suffering from coronavirus, they can't have family with them. They don't get to be held by anyone. They don't get to see anyone's face. So you have to make sure that you're really taking care of the whole person and not just the disease.
Did she tell you at all what the mental toll has been like doing this kind of work right now?
Yeah, I think that many of the healthcare workers that I've talked to feel burnt out, exasperated.
We're tired. That's what I would say at this point. Like, we have more knowledge, we have more preparation, but we're getting very tired.
They have done their part. You know, they were called on to do a heroic act and they did the heroic act. Now they have to do it again.
Like, we're in Groundhog Day. Like, we're watching this whole thing happen again.
They're working, you know, longer hours. They have fewer nurses.
I do think that when we look back on this time, there's going to be a great recognition of the amount of trauma that is done to healthcare workers, families, and patients alike. All of us are going through this massively traumatic experience. And I do feel, from my perspective, you know, deep in the trenches, that this will be looked at as an event similar to when veterans come back from war.
The photos you took, including the one of Alex that you described for us earlier, have this sort of interesting grainy texture to them. Can you describe that and tell me a little bit about how you got it?
Sure. That's actually the inner extruded fabric of discarded surgical mask. And I started seeing them on the street in probably April, and they had been in such demand. And then to see them lying on the ground, I remember thinking, oh, that's one of those things that, you know, we've all been desperate to get, and now people are throwing them out. And the idea of a surgical mask is that the virus gets stuck on the fabric. And looking at them on the street, I thought, you know, there could be a dead coronavirus or a live coronavirus on that particular mask. So I started carefully collecting them and then disinfecting them and pulling them apart and printing the photos through the inner fabric of the mask. So each one has a unique overlay made by the fabric from a discarded surgical mask.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, especially because, you know, you sort of can't forget that this is happening around you all the time. Like, you can't leave the house without your mask on, or if you do, you need to like run back and grab it. So yeah, I mean, it's the filter we're all looking through too.
I'm sure we've all had this. I had a panic at the door the other day when when somebody rang to deliver food and I couldn't find a mask by the front door to answer it.
Yeah, yeah. Mask, keys, wallet.
Yeah, they're just a huge part of our lives now.
When we come back,
some of these people are fighting COVID because they heard the clarion call and they ran out to stand between us and this virus and fight it. And other people are fighting this virus because we left them out there.
Thank you.
supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Alex Stern. I'm talking to Philadelphia photographer Kyle Cassidy about the portraits he's taking of essential workers. You started off photographing doctors and nurses, but you ended up expanding to all kinds of essential workers. Like you had an Instacart shopper, you have a member of city council. What made you decide to widen your scope?
I realized very early on that doctors and nurses weren't the only people who were keeping me alive as I became more and more dependent on a lot of these other workers. And in their absence, you know specifically, you know, who's keeping you safe when the trash isn't picked up for 2 weeks or whatever and starts to pile up outside. You're like, oh, wait, I need sanitation workers. They are a part of the machine that cannot stop. So I started trying to figure out what parts of the story was I missing and how could I find the people to help me tell that part of the story.
One of those people is Travis Southard, who's a bicycle delivery person for Caviar. You took this picture of him. He's sort of standing behind his bike holding his Caviar bag. He's got, you know, his mask on and his helmet. What did he tell you about his experience as an essential worker during the pandemic?
I would feel nervous in the morning when I was getting ready. And I would feel nervous at the very beginning. And then once I was doing it, it was one of those things where, like, it felt fine. But then when you get home, you realize how relieved you feel and, like, how what now has become an ambient amount of anxiety would otherwise be kind of a stressful day.
I actually got to watch him do a little bit of his delivery because he would, you know, he didn't know where he was going to be throughout the day. So I was like, well, you know, if you're near this place, text me and I'll try and meet you. And he would text and say, hey, I'm going to be here. And I'd be like, I can't make it in that period of time. But then finally, when I did catch up with him, I got to see him do the delivery. And it was him reaching out as far as he possibly could with the bag and the, you know, the person reaching out of their house as far as they possibly could, you know, trying to stay as far away from each other as possible.
A lot of folks were very, very happy with me just texting them and saying, like, hey, your thing is on your stoop and I'm already gone.
Travis likes riding his bicycle. He enjoyed being outside at a time when a lot of us were not getting outside at all. But at the same time, he was still afraid of getting sick because he was doing a job that is more risky than sitting home. He did say that the tips were really good in the first few days, and then people just got tired of giving good tips.
This series partially reminds me of things people have done to celebrate essential workers, like honking at 7 p.m. or having like a dance party or putting signs in their windows. But it also seems kind of less joyful. There's a really somber tone to these pictures. They're in black and white. People are sort of looking straight on. What do you think of that comparison?
In the very beginning, I was like, oh, these people are heroes. I want to photograph heroes. And then I realized that the word hero is transactional. And we use it a lot of times when we don't want to feel guilty for something. Some of these people are fighting COVID because they heard the clarion call and they ran out to stand between us and this virus and fight it. And other people are fighting this virus because we left them out there. And I realized that very early on that I think it's wrong to use that word because some people, a lot of people who are on the front lines do not have a choice about being on the front lines. They're not out there because they want to be out there. They're out there because they can't pay their rent. They're out there because they're going to lose their house. They're out there because they don't have any other choice. And I think that instead of honking, what we can do is pay people more, make sure that they get the safety equipment that they need. Make sure that people aren't getting evicted from their houses.
Is this a conversation that you've had with any of the people you've photographed? I'm curious how they feel about, you know, on the one hand, not using the word hero, but on the other hand, you know, there's a life-size picture of some of them on the street of Philadelphia. Like, how do they feel about being held up as sort of symbols as how we got through this?
One person emailed and said they had gone past and looked at the picture and just stood there and cried. And I don't know if they, you know, cried because they were grateful or they cried because they were thinking of the experiences that they had had. But I think everybody wants to be recognized for the good work that they've done.
I do think that Kyle's work is like a time capsule of the images and the emotions that are swirling around. I do want my son to be able to look at his mom and know that I, you know, made this sacrifice at this time, not because I wanted to, but because it was the right thing to do.
Kyle, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me, Alex, and for helping to share these people's stories.
Kyle Cassidy is a Philadelphia photographer. You can see some of the photos from his series, Between Us and Catastrophe, on our website. Or you can go see them in person at the outdoor exhibit at the Science History Institute. The Why is produced by me, Alex Stern, along with Annette John Hall, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd-Circa, Buffy Gorilla, and Malcolm Burnley. We get editorial direction from Ariella Cohen. Some of the audio in this episode is courtesy of the podcast Distillations. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Ray Stern. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.